Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful day you've chosen to give to us. Thank you, Lord, that you've also chosen to let us be a part of it. Lord, we do lift up those that are not feeling well among us, and those, Lord, who are going through personal battles in their lives. Lord, Satan, as Pastor said, is come out with guns blazing, Lord. He is not being subtle at all about his attacks. And Lord, he is definitely not being subtle about his attacks on Shining Light Baptist Church, because we've not been subtle about what we're endeavoring to do for you this year. So Lord, we ask you to please provide extra protection, Lord, extra encouragement, and extra boldness as we endeavor, Lord, to do great things for you and for your kingdom this year. Lord, help us now to clear our minds of distractions, and we might give our full attention to your word. May it be encouraging to us, instructional, and Lord, may it also impact our lives and the things that we say and do, and a witness that we are for you among our peers and just in general. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all you do now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, for those of you who are not normally in my class, we are dealing with lessons entitled Victory in Jesus. Currently, we are still in lesson one from when you were here before. We haven't left that lesson yet. Matter of fact, we'll still be here for a little while yet.
Like a month ago.
Yes, so we're still here. We have moved along a little bit, snail's pace, but we have moved along.
Yep.
Victory over fear is what have been discussing. And we are on item number 3, which is fear of an unknown future. There's not going to be any blanks to fill in today, so it's going to be more of just a specific lesson. Where we left off was the fact that Jesus has left us to be ambassadors for him. As born-again believers, that is our primary responsibility, is to be ambassadors. And if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we've looked at this a couple of times already, but we'll just look at a couple of verses just so we can get that thought and concept fresh in our minds, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the fact that our country has ambassadors in many nations. And those ambassadors are constantly relaying messages from our government to the government where they're being hosted, whether it be Israel, whether it be Japan, you name the country where we have ambassadors. They're not there to say what they think. They're not there to promote their own agenda. They're there as direct representatives of the United States of America. And whether they agree with the policies or the message that they're to relay to that country, they don't have the option of saying, well, Mr. President or Mr. Secretary of State or whoever it might be, I don't agree with that, so I'm not going to say that. And they won't be an ambassador for very long. Now, we, on the other hand, as Christians, are ambassadors for Christ. And so, hopefully, there shouldn't be anything in our message that we are to relate with those around us that we disagree with. I would hope not, because then that would make us poor ambassadors. If we pick and choose from the message what we want to relay to others, that would make us ineffective ambassadors.
Yep.
And that wouldn't be good either. The Lord has specific things that he wants us to relay to others as his ambassadors, and it would do us well, and it'll promote the kingdom of God much better if we stick with the book, stick with the message, and relay that to people, and try not to maybe soften it a little bit, sugarcoat it a little bit, make it a little easier to swallow, that sort of thing. The Word of God is what it is. Mm-hmm. God knows the hearts of men. He knows what they need to hear. And so he's given us exactly what he wants us to relate to people. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a very familiar verse, I'm sure, to most of us. And it's verse 17, but we normally just stop there. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. At that point in time, when we become a new creature in Christ, that's the point at which our ambassadorship begins. Mm-hmm. That's when our commissioning as ambassadors for Christ takes place. Now, does that mean that we know everything that our role as an ambassador entails? Absolutely not. Our role is a very important and a very wide-ranging role. But praise God, the message that Christ wants us to share as ambassadors is a very narrow message. So it's something that's simple to share. It's something that doesn't require years and years of preparation to gather and gain all this knowledge. Now, all of that is good, and I'm not saying, not discounting that for a moment, but the message we're to share is actually quite simple. Now, let's look at verse 20. Now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, mm-hmm. as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Notice that we're in Christ's stead. We're his representatives in his place. Be ye reconciled to God. That's what we're to share with people. For he hath made him, that's God making Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that message, verse 21, is basically encapsulating something that then we need to share with more specifics, and we'll touch on that here in just a moment. But notice back in verse 19, at the end of that verse, it says here that God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. At the end of verse 18, he says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So this ambassadorship that we have then is to reconcile people to God. Now, give me a definition. Reconcile or reconciliation. What does that mean? Yes, Jeff.
You should not do the stuff you used to do before you become a Christian.
Okay, now that's not reconciliation, but that's very true. We shouldn't do that.
Right. I think of accounting, so I think to make right.
Okay.
To solve any corrections and make it.
All right. Inconsistencies, making sure that everything matches up. All right. How about on a human level?
To bring back together what was separated.
And that's exactly right. We are separated from God because of sin. Yep. We're born separated from God. As a matter of fact, we're born spiritually dead. Thus, we must be born again. We must receive spiritual life. And the unsaved man doesn't know that.
Right.
The unsaved man doesn't realize that. So that's the message in a nutshell that we need to bring to people as ambassadors, this message of reconciliation. Or it says here in verse 19, the word of reconciliation, which in turn is encapsulated in the ministry of reconciliation, to which in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. And if you sit there and think about that and meditate and ponder on that for a while, you'll come to realize there's not really too many other, we'll call them, positions in life that are more important than this. But yet, I will venture to say, I'll throw something out there, that most of us, if not all of us, put more time and effort in our jobs or our pleasurable activities, which are temporal, rather than the ministry of reconciliation that we've been given as ambassadors for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Imagine if you were an ambassador for the United States of America. You would be spending a lot of hours in that job. It's not a 9-to-5 job or like mine, a 5-to-1:45 job. It's you're on call 24/7. Whenever the country needs you to relay a word or a message through your position, you do so. As ambassadors for Christ, it's 24/7. There's been times in my Christian life when I've been called in the middle of the night by someone who needs to talk. The reason that they did that was because in my sharing the Word of God with them, I normally leave them with this. I know I've shared some things with you today that you're not fully understanding right now, but after you think about them for a while, it's going to start to stir some things up in your mind. And you may get confused, you may get angry, you may have some questions you want to ask. And I tell them, I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, if you can't sleep and you're just eaten up over something and it's because of me, call me. And I've had people call me and I got my clothes on and we went and met at a Dunkin' Donuts or wherever it was.
Amen.
And we talked about it. Why? Because I'm responsible.
Yep.
I'm the one as an ambassador who shared those words that stirred that person up, so much so, because I'm also praying without them knowing that God is going to stir their hearts and not let them sleep until they get this issue settled. So I'm directly guilty by the way I'm praying. And so then
Amen.
I'm accountable and responsible then to meet the need when that need arises. Now, it hasn't happened a lot, but it has happened. And you know what? I didn't say, what in the world are you doing calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? I knew full well why they were calling me at that time. And I could tell by the tone of their voice and what they were saying, they were very distraught. I wasn't going to say, you know, call me at a more convenient season, like the Bible says. No, I got my clothes on and I went and I met them and dealt with the issues that they had. That's what an ambassador does. And especially an ambassador for Christ, we need to be available at all times for the Lord. But as I said before, we have a specific message to share with people as ambassadors. And it's not rocket science. It's not complicated. It's actually quite simple. And for those of you that have booklets, number one, on page, whatever page it is in your booklet, I'm looking at my teacher's book. Let's see. Page eight. Number one. All have sinned. That's the message in its beginning stages that we have to share with people. Now, we don't mind so much or as much sharing the love of God. Because that's something that's nice to share. Love is something that's nice. It usually doesn't cause controversy. It doesn't cause somebody to get upset. And unfortunately, most people don't share the full message that God wants us to share as ambassadors. We may major on the love aspect, but there's another aspect that needs to be dealt with as well, and that's this sin issue. As it says in our booklets, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's part of the message that we have to share as ambassadors. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God wants to save us, but He wants to save us from something, and it needs to be dealt with. Those who say that they're saved but know nothing about sin and don't see themselves as a sinner, are probably not saved. They're probably not saved.
What are they saved from?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a point and a counterpoint. Mm-hmm. You've got to have light and darkness. As you just said, what are you being saved from? If it's not from sin, then you're not being saved. You don't have a need to be saved. And then number two in our booklet says, all may have remission of sins. So while the bad news is all of us have sinned, the good news is that forgiveness of sins is available to us through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus shed His blood on a cross, our sins may be covered or forgiven. And that's the central element of the message that we need to share as ambassadors. Christ died for sin. Christ died for sinners. And if you're witnessing to somebody and they refuse to accept that they're a sinner, that they need to be forgiven for their sins, then they're pretty much at a crossroads at that point. You have to decide, is it wise to continue sharing the Word of God, or is it just time to say, okay, I just need to stop at this point and come back another day? Because normally if someone is not willing to acknowledge that they're a sinner and that their sin has consequences, then they're really not going to listen to much else that you have to say. Even if they hear what you say, because maybe they don't want to just blow you off out of courtesy or whatever, and they hear what you say, if they're not listening, then it's not going to go to the mind, it's not going to get processed, and it's not going to result in any kind of action. It's going to be, like the old saying, in one ear and out the other. And so we don't want that, so we have to be very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit when it comes to that. But we need to deal with the sin issue. All have sinned. But there is forgiveness. If we accept the blood of Jesus as the covering for our sins and repent. Repentance is absolutely key. Many people, matter of fact, most people that I've witnessed to in the course of my Christian life have admitted that they're sinners. Some, they readily admit it. And they start listing a bunch of stuff that they've done that's sinful. Others, it takes a little more work because they've excused it as, well, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. And so it takes a little longer to get them to see that these mistakes that they're calling are really sin. And they're sin against God. And others, they just think that I'm totally nuts. That's how I'm able to discern whether to continue witnessing to someone or not. But unless you bring them to repentance, and help me out here. When you hear that word repent or repentance, what comes to your mind, Shane? It took me a little while for this, but
it's like remission of sins.
Well,
forgiveness.
Okay, remission of sins, forgiveness.
Acceptance. Realization.
Okay, realization. Okay, now you're starting to zoom in. Now you're getting closer to what repentance really is. Realization, you're on the right track there.
I'd say, yeah, I mean, to know that you're guilty, mm-hmm. and to know that you need to change.
There it is. Okay. There it is.
Repentance means to turn. To turn mentally. There's acknowledging, coming to that realization that I'm wrong. I am wrong. I have sinned against God. And to turn from that and turn to Christ. Then you have the remission of sins. Then you have the forgiveness and so on. But until the person is willing and comes to the place where they want to turn, then there's no repentance. So you can't keep walking this way and say a prayer and say, I'm saved, because no repentance has occurred. You're still going in the wrong direction. There had to come to a point where you stopped, realized that I am wrong, and turned to Christ. And, you know, Pastor illustrates that so well during his sermons.
Amen.
And that's repentance. And unfortunately, so few churches preach on that and make that central to the salvation message. Because Jesus in Luke 13:3 said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I mean, he just cut right to the heart of the matter. No repentance, no salvation. Head belief keeps you going that way. Repentance stops you in your tracks and turns you to Christ to walk in newness of life. That's normally how you can tell if somebody's a Christian or not. You shall know them by their fruit. If their fruit is still taking them that way, their mouth can say whatever it wants all day long. But they're exposing themselves without even knowing it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, sir, like you said, it depends on the church. Because we all know there's a lot of bad churches, but like my sister, you know, homosexual, and she's lit, and she goes to a church,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure they mention sin, but there's no way they're going to admit that this is a sin, because it's a homosexual accepting church.
Correct.
So they're, you know, they can repent of a lot of sins, but if not willing to repent of what is more sin in your life, they're just totally deceived. And I think it's going to be, I keep praying for my sister, but it's going to be very hard for her to come out of that, because she's got her whole church for her. She's got, the world going for her.
Correct.
And it's like...
Correct. God made her that way.
Yeah.
And she's simply living out the way she was made.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I work with half a dozen. And when they try to draw me to that conversation, I tell them, one-on-one, privately, I will speak to you publicly. No. Because I get fired. Politically correct climate that we live in right now, I'd be fired in a heartbeat.
So daughters are made by God.
What's that?
So daughters were made that way, right? If they're made that way, then a daughter is made that way. Murderers are made that way.
Well, exactly. And if you're going to use that train of thought for one thing, then it follows to many other things, which of course doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So it's picking and choosing. But I want to get to an area here that Ken was asking me about last week, and that's Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there, and we're going to focus the rest of our time this morning in this area. When we accept Christ as our Savior, all doubts and fears about our eternal future are removed, whether we feel it or don't feel it. Of course, relying on feelings is a very dangerous thing. Our destiny is sealed at the moment of salvation. And Ephesians chapter 1. And these are verses that we looked at briefly before, but I was already in preparations to expand on them. And then when Brother Duffy said, hey, what about Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14? That was my confirmation that the Lord is the one that had moved me to do this.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, do any of you have a concordance on your smart device?
Not a Strong's one.
Not a Strong's one? Okay. Well, I've got my Strong's here. There's a lot of words that I wanted to look up, but Carl's not here today, but he has a Bible app on his phone that has a concordance built in, and so he normally does the speed search, him and John, when they're here, but neither one of them are here today. So we'll have to do it the old-fashioned way. But there's a lot in these two verses that are fundamental for us to understand so that we can effectively deal with this issue of not only salvation, but the security that we have as believers in Christ. Because a lot of religions out there teach that you can lose your salvation. They teach that, yes, you're born again through Jesus and His blood, and you have to ask forgiveness of your sins, and on they go, and all of that just lines right up. But, they say, if you don't continue to live the Christian life, then you will fall away, and that proves that you have lost your salvation and you need to get saved all over again. I work with a lot of folks over the years who have bought into that lie. And it's because they take a few verses out of context and don't understand the whole of teaching on Scripture regarding our position in Christ. And this passage right here just really illustrates it well, one of many passages that does, but we're going to focus here this morning. Now, Ken, you wanted us to spend more time on this. Now, had you already done some homework?
I looked up the word, seal, because I talked about the word seal.
Yes.
What it meant, and I did look it up in the concordance, and it's from the Greek word stagizo. It's 4972 in the in the Greek words. And it says there from 4973 to stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation, to attest, seal up. And then 4973 said strengthen from a signet, that's fencing in or protecting from misappropriation, the stamp impressed as a mark of privacy or genuineness. And a signet, basically, I looked that up in the Webster Dictionary. It just means it's a small seal, stamp means impress or imprint, and seal means to affix a seal, to close up securely, to determine finally.
Okay. So out of all of that, then, how would you summarize what it says here in verse 13, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise?
Well, we have that, we always have that protection, that genuineness from being saved,
mm-hmm.
and it's, we're fenced in, we'll never lose that, we're stamped with that.
Okay.
That's what.
Okay. Any other input there? Because all the things you said were correct regarding the word seal, but there's a lot of other things here that I want to get in as well and get out in the open, because this, there's a lot of good teaching material here that unfortunately when we just read our Bibles, we miss out on so much. And you'll see that here. Now let's go back and dissect verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted. Let's begin with the word whom. Who is it talking about when it's saying, in whom ye also trusted?
He's the one that needs to be
Jesus.
Jesus? Okay, prove it. How do you know it's Jesus?
Well, reading it from the Bible, and that's his word.
Okay.
I said, look at verse 12.
There you go. That's all I want you to do. I want you to investigate what's right there. Read verse 12.
That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ.
All right. In whom ye also trusted. Okay. So Christ is mentioned in verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we start back in verse 7. Well, here, let's say at the end of verse 6, what do you find?
Beloved.
Beloved. And then you find a period, correct?
Yep.
Then the next sentence starts. What do you see at the end of verse 7? A period or a semicolon?
Semicolon.
Okay. And that thought begins in verse 7 and continues all the way to the end of verse 14. Is that what you call a run-on sentence?
Mm-hmm. No, they're all independent clauses.
Exactly.
Semicolons.
Right. But when Paul spoke, he was known to say a lot before he...
Pause. Word is never grammatically correct anyway.
Exactly. So the point I wanted to make here is that you have a complete thought here beginning at verse 7 and ending at verse 14. So in whom we saw from verse 12 is Christ. In verse 7, in whom is there again? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So although it doesn't say Jesus in verse 7,
right,
it's very evident as to who it's talking about.
It does in verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 3.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. So in other words, it's very clear that it's talking about Jesus. You are absolutely correct, but I want you to see it in black and white. Okay, this way somebody says, well, doesn't say who it is. Right? You're going to get mockers. They're going to say that.
Right.
About verse 12? About verse 3? About verse 5? Verse 7 sure describes Jesus. It doesn't describe anybody else. All right? So, back to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. That's the... That would be the subject. Now we start to break that subject down. Yes, it's good that we trusted in Jesus. But how do we trust in Jesus? After that she heard the word of truth. In other words, we didn't trust in Jesus until after we heard the word of truth. Okay? That's good. What's the word of truth? The Bible? Okay. Okay. But in what it's saying right there, the word of truth, isn't that kind of an ambiguous term? Isn't that kind of a broad, kind of a large term?
Yes.
There's not any specific meat here. Remember I said the message was narrow? It was simple? That you didn't need, you know, a lot of education, a lot of time of knowing the scriptures to be able to present it as an ambassador. So first, whom we also trusted is Jesus, and that trust came after we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, that's the word of truth that's being spoken of. It's breaking it down even more so. The gospel of your salvation. What's the word gospel mean? What is this gospel? Yes, Jeff?
The Bible.
The Bible, okay. That's good. More specific.
Well, if I remember my song from growing up, it means good news.
It is good news. It absolutely is good news.
It's good.
Yes. That's exactly what gospel means, is good news. Now, give me some details of this gospel. What is the gospel? Think your song has the details to it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay. He's going to sing us a song. Cool.
How Jesus died for us, for our sins. How if we believe on him, he comes back.
Okay.
He will take us to heaven with him.
Okay.
That's all the song has to say.
All right. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That we find that in Corinthians.
Yeah.
Paul says, how I declared the gospel. And it's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, the one we trust in is Jesus Christ after we hear the word of truth. And what we hear specifically of the word of truth is the gospel or the good news or the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation. Now, the fact that you hear that is not enough. Many people have heard the gospel.
The devil or the demons know the gospel.
They know it very well. The difference with them is they tremble.
Yes,
most
they
people
do.
Don't tremble. So, hearing the gospel is good. It's the beginning. We must hear the gospel. Otherwise, we're in ignorance. But then let's go on in that verse. In whom, who's the whom again?
Jesus.
In whom also, after that ye believed. What's that word believed means?
Put our trust in.
Put your trust in.
There you go.
Does it just mean mental assent? I believe a lot of things. This belief is not just head knowledge. This is complete faith, trust
on,
and confidence in and on.
Yeah.
Thank you. It'd be like when my daughter was a little girl and he used to put her up on the windowsill. I'd say, jump. She jumped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Complete faith and confidence in Daddy. Back up a little more. Jump. She jumped. No hesitation. Didn't matter how far back I got. She jumped. That's the kind of belief I'm talking about. Not, I'll think about it. That's not belief. All right. So, let's follow this and step it down. So, in whom ye also trusted is the subject matter, trusting in Jesus. But there's a process here. It's after we hear the word of truth. And we have further identified that as the gospel or the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection, which provides our salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed the good news or the gospel, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And Ken described to us what that sealing means. And the times that the scriptures were written, it was a signet ring that the emperor or whoever was in charge wore, right, and they would put a clay blob on whatever they needed to seal, and he would put his impression of his ring in that, and that seal was now affixed to whatever it was, and only certain individuals were allowed to break that seal. And if it was not broken in front of those individuals who were allowed to break the seal open, then it was tampered with.
And that could be a very serious
In that day, that was a death offense.
Yeah.
Because when you put your signet ring on something, it was important. Mm-hmm. And of course, the higher the signet ring, the worse the offense. So it could lead up to death. But in this case, we're being sealed.
Right.
And we're being sealed with the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit. And it's a promise. We're not in heaven. Praise God. I would hate to think that this is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a major letdown if it was. So we have been sealed, and there's been an earnest given for our redemption. Now, what's an earnest?
Guarantee.
A guarantee?
There you go.
How about earnest money? What is that?
Faith, good faith money.
Faith money?
Yeah.
Down payment. Both of you are exactly right. At the moment that we're born again.
Down payment of money back.
Huh?
Can't you sometimes get down payment?
Well, let's not get too technical here. All right?
I mean, you said it was the same thing.
Well, in this case, there is no money back. Otherwise, you could lose your salvation. If we're going to follow.
But you can't get it back, you know, if it's earnest money.
Right. Earnest money, you're not supposed to get back, are you?
No.
No. It's a down payment on something that someone is holding aside for you, and if you back out on it, then you lost that money that you put down because the person was not able to sell it while it was held in earnest for you. So, yes, I understand the technicalities of it. But spiritually speaking, we're told in verse 14 that being sealed by the Holy Spirit is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance. Another way that I explain it, and this may or may not help, we'll see. Layaway. What's layaway? Do you get to take it home? No?
No.
Do you get to just take the item you want to buy and just go to the layaway counter and just give it to them and say, lay this away from me and walk away? What do you got
to
do?
Money
you got to put earnest money down, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And of course, if you don't come and pick it up within a certain amount of time or pay for it within a certain amount of time, then they keep your earnest money and then they go put it back in stock for somebody else to buy. I understand that. But when something is on layaway, it's set aside. In other words, nobody else can have it because it's been set aside. We, as born-again believers, when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we then are set aside. It's also called sanctification. Set aside for service for God. We are set aside, but we're not taken to heaven yet. Why? Because there's still a lot of others.
We still have to do our ambassador duties.
We have to do our ambassador duties, among many other things. Go to work and pay our bills and everything else. But there are many others who God wants to bring into his kingdom, which happens through our ambassadorship. And once that whole purchased possession has been set aside, then the redemption, the taking away of that purchased possession will occur, but not until then. So if you want to look at it selfishly, I know for me, I want to be in heaven. I want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
I don't want to be here. Speaking selfishly. So how do I make that happen quicker? Take care of my ambassadorship.
Exactly.
And be more busy about reaching others for Christ so that when this group of people, this redeemed multitude that Jesus wants comes into the fold, then he comes back for us. But until then, he's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Meanwhile, he's leaving us as his ambassadors to reach those people. And so the two are tied together. But I wanted you to see here that there's an order in which we need to present this as ambassadors. First, we need to deal with the sin issue. We need to deal with the fact that sin has already been taken care of on our behalf if we simply partake of the provision, which is salvation through Christ. If we don't, then we're going to have to pay for our own sins. And we need to let people know that. Okay, that's not good news. That's bad news.
Yes, sir, it is.
But the bad news needs to be brought out in the open so that the good news makes sense. And so that the good news is more relevant and more, I don't know if enticing is the right word, because this is not salesmanship. This is simply saying, hey, here's where you're at. It's not good. Here's what God has done for you, which is really good. But as we see in Ephesians, there's a way in which you have to do it. And it's not just simply from the head. It must be done through repentance. It must be done through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it will be evidenced by a changed life, by this ambassadorship that we then participate in and really have the privilege to participate in, because we're ambassadors for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And being a true and faithful servant.
Being a true and faithful servant, absolutely.
Amen.
And it's our reasonable service, as we're told in Romans chapter 12.
Yep.
In other words, we've not been born again, we've not been saved, we've not been set aside, we've not been redeemed, we've not been sealed, we've not had this earnest, all done for us to just sit and do nothing. Say, praise God, I'm saved, thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Go take a nap.
There you go. There's a work for us to do. And so I hope that this helps to put some perspective on things.
So the seal is God's seal. It's the Spirit. That's the seal.
That is correct. The seal.
And when we break that seal, we got to repent.
But
we can't break the seal. That's the whole point.
Right. You can't. Right.
Can't break the seal. Now, can we tarnish the seal? Can we throw some mud on the seal? Can we do things like that? By the way we live our lives, yes.
Yeah.
We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. Our witness can be to where people are looking at us saying, really? You want me to listen to you? Yeah. But as far as the actual seal, can only be broken by one. And that's Jesus. The one in whom we have trusted. Because the purchased possession is going to be delivered to him at the judgment seat of Christ. Then the seal will be broken. And then we'll be judged according to our works as Christians. And then we'll be given rewards accordingly. But we'll get to cast crowns at his feet when we get there.
Amen.
All part of our ambassadorship as we serve him in this life. Some will have more crowns to cast at his feet. Some will have less. And some will have none. But we shouldn't be doing it for any personal rewards that we might get or recognition, because all the glory and all the honor is going to him anyway. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be patting us on the back saying, oh, you're so great. Because we're not going to think that way at that time.
You had 3 crowns. So good.
Yeah. And only had 2. Why do you only have 2? I know I did everything he did. No.
Say,
that's why we're going to be transformed.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to have a new mind, and we won't think that way no more.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, as I was sharing with my wife coming to work. The Lord's work. I was watching her get in the car, and she's having a hard time, you know, with her skirt and everything. So it was kind of clinging to the seat cover. I said, won't it be great in heaven when we all wear dresses the same? I said, we're all going to wear robes of white.
Amen.
Pure robes, white, no pink, no blues, no greens. So nobody's looking at each other saying, wow, how come you got a royal red one? A scarlet one, and I only have a white one. It's all going to be the same. We're all going to be the same. We're all going to be like-minded. Because there's no place in heaven for this pecking order and jealousy and everything else that breeds. We won't even think that way. We won't even be wired that way.
It's like, wow, why is mine more like a dirty white?
Well, you know, none of that'll happen. So praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. That's why, Lord can take me home anytime. There's nothing here that wants to delay His coming. But anyway, let's go ahead and stop there. We've exceeded our time, and let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank You for Your precious Word. Thank You, Lord, for the order that it gives us. Thank You for the details that it gives us, Lord, as far as our ambassadorship and how to go about accomplishing it. And Lord, help us to keep it simple. It's really not that complicated. And help us not to complicate it, but to simply present the sin issue, repentance from sin, and then the glorious good news through Jesus Christ, through that precious gospel. Lord, encourage us now for the hour to come. Help those who may even be here right now who are not born again to get saved today, and those who will come through the doors that are not saved. Lord, make it abundantly clear to them that today is a day of salvation, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen.